And welcome back to the WhatsApp program with your host, Terry Lowry. Still with us is author Mark Cahill. You can find him at markcahill.org. Mark, welcome back.
You can also find me sometimes on the streets of Atlanta or in the malls. Just this past weekend, you ready for this? Just out witnessing on the streets of Atlanta, ran into two people that I went to high school with 25 years ago, ran into two people I played college basketball with 20 years ago, ran into two people who heard me speak at the University of Florida, 1 3 years ago, 1 5 years ago. We just happened to run into each other on the streets of Atlanta. See, I don't buy that. I buy these divine appointments. And matter of fact, that's where people should be able to find all of us Christians, not just in our churches, not just in our homes, on the streets of their cities, knocking on some doors, out at the events, reaching some lost people for Jesus Christ.
Do you ask these friends, do you ask complete strangers, and I'm getting into chapter 4 now, the flames, do you ask them what will happen to them once their time comes to die?
Oh, most definitely. Because one thing I always tell people, Terry, is before people can get saved, they got to be thinking about it first. And that's one of Satan's tricks, is to deaden their mind just to get them going to the Hawks versus LeBron James on Friday night, or just the Florida versus Arkansas SEC championship game on Saturday. He's just deadening their minds to get out to some store and buy some Christmas gift. Man, where can we go today and go to the movie theater? He deadens their minds with pleasures and pleasures of materialism, especially in America. So what we're doing by asking questions, get your wheels spinning first, get you thinking, going to give you some truth, and we'll use the law as we do in the book and go to your heart at some point also.
Well, what happens to us when our heart beats for the last time? And all of us, you know, our hearts beat about 100,000 times a day. I use my day timer every day. I pay an assistant to work for me 4.5 hours every day. And you know what she does? Mark, she keeps my calendar. If you want to see me, if you want me to come to your town, you have to call my assistant. You got to get on my calendar. But there's nowhere on my calendar where it says, meet my maker. But what will happen to all of us someday when our heart beats for the last time?
It's actually something we wrote in the book. And we had a guy, actually hired a friend of mine, Russell, to do the chapter art in the book. And I wrote a statement there that, you know, for every one of us, death is going to show up on our day planner. But unless you commit suicide, you don't write it in. But sometime it shows up 10:31 in the morning, death meets your maker. And are you ready for that? Because the Bible is very explicit, Hebrews 9, there is a judgment day. You are going to be judged on your life. And that's one thing we talk about in the book, is we're all going to bring God a sacrifice. It's either going to be the sacrifice of your life and the few good things we did, and Father, here I am, or you're going to realize you're a sinning machine, there's a holy God, you have offended God with your sin, Psalm 51, and the only acceptable sacrifice on that day will be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, Mark, you talk about how the devil wants to deaden us. He does not want us to think about eternity. But has God placed an awareness in all of us that there is an eternity and someday our hearts will stop?
Most definitely. I, you know, it's funny, even when I talk with atheists, I always ask an atheist many times who believes there's nothing when they die, do you hope there's something? And they'll go, yeah, I really do. Most of them ask, well, what do you hope there is? And they'll say, you know, a place where I was just peaceful and loving, a chance to be with my friends and da-da-da-da-da. I said, be careful now. It looks like you might be describing a heaven there. And see, there's something in us that knows this is not the end of the journey. That's why we have funerals, okay? We're wondering where the departed is now. I just met a guy the other day, a waiter at a restaurant, and his dad died 2 years ago, and he is still so struggling with his father's death, because this guy's only 21, 22, so his dad died when he was pretty young. But he's curious, where is my father now? Where does that curiosity even come from? Unless there's something ingrained in us, made in God's image, knowing there's more to this life than just the grave right there.
Well, have you ever asked a complete stranger if they believe that there is body, soul, and spirit?
I don't know if I've asked it that way, but I do ask them, do you believe there's more than just the physical body? And the funny thing is, almost every single person says yes. I even get some atheists that say that, which again is going to start defeating their argument that there's nothing when you die, because if, as they will tell me, and I know it to be true, that energy can't be created nor destroyed, that means the spirit and the soul must go somewhere. The question is, where's the somewhere?
Are most people, now this past weekend you kind of handed out tracts, what, before football games, during football games, at the mall, wherever you go?
Basically anywhere we go. We went to a big Atlanta Hawks game, and then we went to the football game, and just me, I got out a little over 4,000 tracts. A friend of mine got out over 3,000 tracts, so we had a pretty busy, fun weekend here in Atlanta.
Now, what kind of tracts do you hand out?
Oh, there's some really good tracts. Livingwaters.com, Ray Comfort makes some wonderful tracts, and then we use Chick.com. Chick tracts are good ones. So we have real colorful, good-looking tracts, and like a lot of people walk past and say, hey, is that a ticket, like a ticket to the game?
Said,
no, it's a ticket to heaven. And if you want it. And some people, you know, immediately don't want it. But I had a guy say, okay, let me take that. And he slid it right into his pocket. He said, I'm going to need that sometime. I was like, you definitely are going to need it sometime.
I like to put on the back of the toilet. You know, the public restrooms,
yep.
You know. How do you get money to hand out 3,000 tracts?
Well, what we do is when people pay me to speak at events or I sell books, I don't buy stuff. I don't go clothes shopping. I'm really tall. Nothing fits me anyway. So I just take all my money and I put it back into tracks, back into books, and I make sure I've got an arsenal of tracks. It's a war to me. It's a battle, and you must have the right ammunition. Actually, they told me at livingwaters.com, also thewayofthemaster.com, Ray Comfort, you've had them on your show before, that
yes.
I think it was last year when they totaled up at the end of the year that actually I had bought more tracks than anybody except one church, and this church had bought more than I had, but they said I bought plenty more than any other church out there and stuff. I'm pretty aggressive, but I know souls matter to God, and they better matter to me.
Well, I know that when I was when my wife and I first surrendered to Jesus Christ, I was selling Bibles door to door. I was not saved, and I knocked on a preacher's door, and he sold me on Jesus Christ. I didn't sell him a Bible, but I got the better end of that deal, and I've never been the same.
Better believe it.
And we lived in Michigan at that time, and we were driving back to Oklahoma, and we had some tracks, and we promised God in our prayers before we left Michigan that everywhere we went, everywhere we could, would hand out tracks to the waitress, would put them in the stalls in the bathroom. If we paid tolls at highways, would hand them out to the toll taker or whatever. We stopped to eat a meal, we started down the road, and we didn't leave a track. We didn't leave a track. And our Volkswagen bus died. I mean, it just quit running. And I'm not mechanical. And we pulled over to the side of the road, got on the shoulder, and I opened up the back of that Volkswagen van, and I'm just praying, God, I don't know, I don't have any money. Barely have enough money to buy gas to get from Michigan back to Norman, Oklahoma. And if the engine's dead, I don't know what we're going to do. It's winter time. It's mid-morning. I place myself in your hands. And God reminded me, you didn't hand out a track. And I just looked at that engine, and a wire had popped off the coil. All I had to do was put it back on the coil. Now, I'm not a mechanic. I'm sure the mechanic's listening. How often does the wire from the distributor cap... Now, I don't think engines have distributor caps and coils anymore, but you know what I mean.
Right.
It just popped off the coil. Just popped off. Yeah, right. You know, God reminded me. How important is it to ask those that we come in contact with, what is their relationship with eternity? Are they more interested in the here and the now or in the future? Is that a good question to ask?
Yeah, you know, and just back to your story for a second, Terry, that it just shows you how much God cares about you, because he knows you made a commitment to him, and he wants you to keep your end of the commitment. As I always tell people, God has no problem keeping his end of the bargain. It's whether Mark's going to keep his end is the big question.
Well, how do you stay up? How do you stay energized? Is it important? Now, some days I don't want to record. Some days when I dial your number or other guests, I honestly pray, may they not be there. I just don't want to record.
Man, that's interesting. I was just traveling the other day, and I actually prayed for God for me to miss my connection to Buffalo. So I was just so tired. I didn't want to go. I just wanted to stay home. Because passing through Atlanta, which is where I live at, of course, it didn't happen. Of course, I was sitting next to this guy. He's a gold miner. He actually works for a company where they go find gold in Nevada, South America. He'll be gone for, you know, 30 days, 60 days at a time. Interesting man. And he told me at the end, he said, you know, I got to tell you something. I very rarely even talk with people on plane flights, and we talked the whole flight, and half of it was about spiritual matters. He said, but I've really just enjoyed this conversation that you and I just had. See, the thing that juices me up is that waitress, that reminder of just your story right there. how important that soul is to God. When we were at the football game on Saturday, this guy stood about 10 feet from me, Terry. He started looking at me. All of a sudden, he takes his glasses off, sunglasses, and I walk over to him. I said, I know you. He said, yeah. He said, Tallulah Gorge. 1 week earlier, up in North Georgia, my dad wanted to go walking. So me, my brother, my niece, and him went walking up in this big gorge area and stuff. I was witnessing, handing tracts out, as I always do. Talk with this freshman from the University of Florida. Had a real quick talk. He couldn't take a book from me because he had no pockets and stuff, but I just gave him my card. Said, if you'd like one, just email me. Of course, never heard from him. 1 week later, this is the guy, same 18-year-old young man I meet again in Atlanta. I looked at him and said, you live in Gainesville, Florida, but you and I just met twice in the state of Georgia in 1 week? He said, yeah, this can't be a coincidence. I said, there's no possible way this is a coincidence. See, it's things like that. Lost people get me excited and juiced up because that's what Jesus Christ came for. That's why he wouldn't take the tricks of Satan in Matthew 4 and choose an easy way out when he knew he had to go down the narrow road of pleasing his Father, not his will, but the Lord's will be done, the Father's will be done. And go to that cross. It wasn't the easy way out, okay? It was the right way to live life. And as much as he didn't want to physically go to the cross, spiritually, I think it was probably the most exciting thing happening on the inside of him, because now the people in the world that wanted to be could be rectified with the holy, righteous God. If lost people who are hungry for truth can't get us excited, I would question whether you're even saved.
Friends, are you excited about sharing the good news with your friends? This Christmas season, you need to get a copy of One Heartbeat Away. And while you're at the bookstore, pick up a copy of Mark's first book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. Friends, think about it. There are many things that we will not be able to do in heaven. There are many things that we won't want to do. But one thing for sure that you will never do in heaven, and that's witness to a lost soul. Because in heaven, everybody's saved.
That's right.
Looking through, and we're going to talk about this because it's covered in chapter 4, the flames, is that there is a gulf that separates us, that we who will be in heaven, and those that won't be there. There'll be a separation, and you'll never get out of hell, and you'll never be able to save a lost soul once you make heaven. Mark, we got to take a break. We're going to give away another copy of One Heartbeat Away. Be a lucky caller right now to win this. If you don't, log on to markcahill.org to order a copy or get one through your favorite local Christian bookstore, lifeway.com, or even christianbooks.com. We're going to give away a copy again right now.